Boy, that's awkward.
What
What?
happened?
Another situation where I didn't stop the stream. Let's go make sure I don't have a 27-hour. This is going to be a good cold intro, by the way. Because I already started for audio. Oh boy. Oh boy. Well, guys, I wish I could say this is the first time I've done this.
It's not the last.
Yeah, I hope it's the last.
Soon it will be.
We only have what, 16
Let's
episodes after this? yeah, 16 I was counting today. Yeah, it cut me off at 25 hours and 40 minutes. So we're just going to
Oh.
go delete that last episode. Maybe. Can I delete you? Delete forever. There we go. Okay. Let's try again. I
That is a perfect time to say, I remember my first beer. Yikes. I love it.
Welcome to Beer Fueled. I am your host, Chris Hopper at Beer Fueled Hop, joined by Dan Thury and at Ryan Minor underscore FFB. Gentlemen, good evening.
What's
So,
up?
it was Ryan's last episode, so we have a night full of surprises. But before I get into that, I was asked in the liquor store today to talk about if I would talk about a topic on the podcast. And I was like, okay, what's the topic? And they're like, homelessness. And I'm like, okay, all right. So first off, I apologize to anybody that's super religious, but I'll talk about homelessness because I solved this on the drive to Indianapolis earlier this week. It's just weird that this came up.
You solved homelessness?
I did solve homelessness. Got a couple numbers
Wow.
for you. Ready?
Impressive. Yep.
There are just over 500,000 homeless people in the United States, and there are 400 and some odd thousand tax-free churches in the United States. Every church sponsored a homeless person and a half. Homelessness would be solved. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. You must
I don't know what they're going to do with the other half of their other half of the body, but.
sponsor a homeless person. Now let's make the Catholics sponsor too. Sponsor a homeless person.
We don't need more Catholics running around. That's the only problem. We need
Yeah.
less of them. So. Hey, I'm Catholic. I just don't go to church.
Sponsor a homeless person to keep your tax exempt status. My wife was raised Catholic, but anyway, that's
So was my, like, half my mom and dad's family.
yeah, half of everyone you know was
Yeah,
probably raised Catholic,
yeah.
honestly.
That's what I feel like. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Now, moving on. So Ryan, your first gift for departing us, this is your last show. You get to run the
It
show.
is.
This is your show, buddy. Take it over. Take it away. Congratulations.
All
We
right.
let Nick host his last show. I will host my last show. It's your turn.
Well, well, shit. It's almost like I already knew because I came prepared, man. So, I got the fucking popcorn ready. We're gonna have
Oh,
a
all right,
blast.
to
How am
you.
I gonna host my last show? Oh, God damn it. I have to do an extra one now. No.
No, I was gonna do the extra one. No, we'll co-host it.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'll do the first half. You can do the
And
second
by
half. We
co-host, it
did
means
that for a year.
it's gonna be like 20 of us on stream. It's gonna be a
Right.
fucking shit show. Yeah.
The
It's gonna
host
be a
is
Spider-Gram.
there is no host. So
I don't have the soundboard over here though, so I can't hit buttons and
you
mute
don't have
you.
to. We did this with Nick all the time. You just have to lead me in and say what you want to do, and then I'll hit the drop.
Yeah, it's really easy. All right, guys, what are we drinking tonight? Chris, drop, please.
What's new in your field?
He's doing this one. Perfect.
I was kind of waiting to see if you were actually going to tell people what the episode was about, but.
We're gonna jump. Nope. We'll do that out. This is Ryan's show. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah, let's tell them what we're drinking first, and then we'll tell what the show is. That's well, who gets to go, Ryan? Dan, you go first.
Okay. To continue the Sun King train, because of me now selling Sun King in very small parts of Illinois, I have Pechanga on. Pechanga is their year-round Mexican lager. I think it clocks in at like 4.8%. It's really cold. I just took it out of the fridge. Yeah. That's it.
Pechanga is almost like Bazanga from Big Bang Theory.
Bazinga or Topanga.
Topanga, yeah. God damn. Why didn't I think of that?
Topanga.
Grits, what you got tonight?
All right. So I said that I was late for you, and I was, because I'm like, Dan, I actually care about your last episode. He didn't think like what beer to celebrate you with or anything like that, even 10 minutes beforehand, like I did. He just grabbed whatever he had in his fridge. Guarantee it. I have, just for An you, IPA. because I have not had anything on of this style for your entire tenure on the show, and probably any show before that, and probably won't again over the next 16. I have Dogfish Head's 90-minute Imperial IPA. I was like,
Oh, that's a good one.
what would Ryan find special? I'm like, oh, an Imperial IPA. That's special for Ryan. So 90-minute Imperial IPA from Dogfish Head. Imperial IPA is higher ABV. So this one checks in at 9%. And 90-minute equals 90-minute boil. So you can do some more fun things with hops and get better conversion out of it. Ryan, what do you got?
I have Equilibrium Brewery's Rock Fantasy. It's a double India Pale Ale coming in at 7.5%. I just like it for the can art too, because it's Rock Fantasy.
Think they're out of New York.
Yes.
Equilibrium. Yeah. We've got
Yep. Little town New York.
every once in like two blue moons, we'll see them around this area in It's a good Illinois. time to talk the difference between an Imperial IPA and a double IPA. I mean, sure. Because there's a lot of
Yeah,
different
let's do it.
takes on IPAs. And so we'll give you a little IPA corner here. So Imperial IPA, double IPA, and I'll throw a double dry hopped IPA in there too, because there's, among There's people
three
new to this,
differences.
there's a lot of confusion there. So kind of triangulation. Dan, help me fill in whatever I miss here, because I won't be perfect at this. Imperial IPA, similar IBUs, similar malt character, higher alcohol. Double IPA, also slightly higher alcohol, but not quite as high as an Imperial IPA, but higher than a standard IPA, higher IBU. Double dry hopped IPA is dry hops typically add aroma, so they've usually had a couple rounds of dry hopping done to them, which are more aromatic. So Imperial IPA is going to be a little bit maltier, a little bit more floral from the alcohol content, a little bit stronger, but not quite as bitter as a double IPA or as aromatic as a double dry hopped IPA. Also, ABV on a double dry hopped IPA is that of a standard IPA. Did I miss
Because
anything?
if you don't know, hops doesn't add alcohol content.
It's true.
It's for certain people that used to be my boss at certain places that told customers this. Hops do not add alcohol. That's why you have hop water. That's not even booze. It's not even an NA, because it's just water with hops involved. That's
Hops give
literally
you,
it.
they give you three things: flavor, aromatics, and bitterness.
If you want even more, and that was a very good explanation of all three, if you want an even more dumbed down version, Imperial is just a stronger version. It's just a it's not double, it's not triple. There's no real numeric number to it. Like double is effectively you're doubling your recipe to an extent. And then double dry hopping is you're just wasting a bunch of hops to get more aroma, because all double dry hopping is throwing you're just throwing your money
It's throwing
into
more hops into the
you're just throwing
fermenter
more money away, actually. That's why hops are so fucking expensive,
for
because you're just
aroma.
wasting hops.
Indeed. All right.
Ugh.
Ryan, back to you.
All right. So as we say, this is my final episode. I'm not leaving forever though, guys. I'll be back for the one final episode.
Yeah.
But I'm going on my own adventure. I don't know if I've even told you guys, but I'm going to be doing a auction theme, salary cap type theme podcast, because that's what my true passion has always been, is auction leagues.
Hell yeah.
So I'll be
Hell
kicking
yeah.
that off here next month. So I'm looking forward to doing that. But no more sad stories. Let's have some fun, guys. We're here tonight for a mock draft, right?
That's
We
right.
are. Hey, we're gonna talk about
We
any.
mocking.
Are we going to talk about the one news item at all, or are we just not gonna do that?
We don't need to do news.
Okay.
Yeah, news is not never not fun. I mean, what news do you want to
I'm
do?
sorry, Ryan's in charge. That's my fault. Sorry.
The only one I was thinking of was the Rashee Rice incident,
Oh
which
yeah,
tacks
like how it's flipping
onto
back and forth.
his other incidents, and now, you potentially do have some suspension concerns. You did before, but even more so going into the season. That was the only thing that I thought that I saw that I thought was worth mentioning. Also, roast with Tom Brady was excellent.
3 fucking hours, so
Oh my
man.
God.
I
Jesus
know. I made it through an hour
Christ.
of it.
Does not need to be 3 hours.
I made it through 20 minutes of it because we tried to watch it at 3 o'clock in the morning after a night of riding lime scooters around Indy and drinking, and didn't work. I just fell
I was
asleep.
like, cool, this is an hour. This is always an hour. It's an hour long show,
It's three
Comedy
hours and four
Central. This is
minutes.
perfect. It's 3 fucking hours. I'm like, no.
It's a
Like, I
full-length
don't want to listen
movie.
to 3 hours of Kevin Hart. Just fucking kill me now.
And I had bashed my head off a trash can earlier.
I'll probably get through it at some point, but that's brutal.
Who will
There's still
tell?
2 hours left to go in it, so you
Here's
do
what it
one hour
reminded me.
in.
Here's what it reminded me of, Dan. Remember the time you were here and I'm like, do you want to watch an Eagles trail? And then I fell asleep 10 minutes after sitting on the couch. But I was so adamant I wanted to watch it.
Was so good.
Same exact thing.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
All right, Ryan, here you go.
All right, let's
Fantasy
kick off the
mock draft.
Hey guys, look! It's the real Buzz Lightyear!
You're mocking
You're
me, aren't you?
mocking
Oh
me.
no.
God, what a great drop.
Old school drops.
It is.
All right, tell us the format. How are we picking? Figure it out on the fly.
All right. Let's do quick 4 rounds. Each of us will have three picks. So wait, no. Yeah.
Well, four
Three, six,
rounds,
nine.
three
Four,
picks.
four. That'd be
48
four picks.
picks.
Yeah, four picks in each
Super
round.
flex, one QB. Hopefully super. Please
Let's
see
do
super
super flex.
flex. Thank
Let's do
God.
super flex.
It would be so
The,
hard to do a four round non one
it's
QB
gonna be
mock
tough for
draft with
four
this
rounds, but
class.
yeah.
All right, let's do 3 rounds then. Screw it. We'll do 3 rounds.
This is
36.
not a deep draft class, guys.
All
That's a
right,
good
three rounds
one.
it is.
All
Yeah.
right, three rounds, four picks. What's the order?
Picking up between 1 and 7.
Five.
Two. All
right, Chris. You pick what slot do you want? 1, 2, or 3?
I want one because I actually have a similar scenario in the league, so I'll take one.
Dan? You get
I'll
the three
take
spot.
three.
There you go. See? I even said it for you.
I was
I got
gonna
the
be like,
spot.
well, whatever you want me to do. I really don't
Now
care.
we're gonna have some fun with this.
Okay.
All right, and it's gonna be tight end premium. So let's try that. See how high
Power.
tight end
Anyone goes here.
premium. Okay. So hold on. Super flex. Tight end premium.
Full PPR.
Full
No,
PPR
yeah,
always.
full
Full
I'm
PPR.
kidding. I don't care. I don't care.
PPR. Yeah, right. I don't think it matters that much. It's Hopper.
IDP. No, I'm kidding.
No.
No.
God, no.
All right.
Hopper, Ryan, Dan. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, yeah. I should probably write that order down because I will forget here in a minute.
Well, I mean, gotta be able to track who's been taken. So I'm
What?
gonna write down who's being drafted.
Yeah, that's what I'm over here typing out. I don't know if you can hear the keyboard, but that's what I'm over here mashed
Yeah.
on the keyboard for.
Same
All
here.
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, 101 in this is pretty straightforward to me. I don't know the rookie. Oh, sorry, am I on the clock?
Yeah, you're on the clock.
Okay. 101 in this is pretty straightforward to me. I don't know that a rookie quarterback has landed in a better situation, both short term and long term, right out of the gate. It's not a homer pick. It just is how it is in super flex. So it's Caleb Williams for me, and I don't think we got to spend a lot of time on that or that debate. There's really nobody else in consideration for me at that pick,
Nope.
given the year one weapons and the ceiling that he has and the fact that the Bears are just drafting him as they enter a window.
All right. Love it. Love it. All right. I'm going to change it up here a little bit because I always feel like everyone wants to go the certain player, but I'm going to go the other way just because, yeah, he's good and he did really good last year. And people will probably say, well, you shouldn't do that because you have you're a pass up an elite prospect. I'm going with Jaden Daniels here at the 102.
Boom. That's the right call, in my opinion.
The rushing upside, the passing upside. And now he actually has Terry McLaurin. He just also got Ben Sinnott drafted there in the second round. So they're putting weapons around him. They're building a good nucleus around him, you know, with the signing of Austin Eckler. So I like where this team could possibly go. And getting him now at this point, like, I can see him as like a high-end QB2 with QB1 upside with from the rushing alone.
He's got weekly QB1 upside.
Yeah,
like does. He has a high rushing floor. Like that's easy. Mine's simple, obviously. I'm gonna go with the best wide receiver landing spot. I'm gonna go with Marvin Harrison. Third, Arizona. My favorite for fantasy. It's not my favorite landing spot. That'll be good to that one later, but if I get to pick. Walks into a improving and up and coming offense, a year removed from his injury with Kyler, even longer year removed with Kyler, near to Michael Wilson to kind of help. And then, you know, Trey McBride also gotta love what's happening there. And M.A. Shree just steps into a true alpha role with no real legit competition.
All right. Fourth round pick. I'm going to flip this a little bit. I think
a fourth round pick. Wow.
No, number four pick. Sorry. Fourth overall pick. Reach. I'm going to flip this a little bit from what I think consensus has been. I know that, but I think this is shifting anyway. I'm going to go straight back to the Bears. I'm going to go throw Romadante.
Yeah.
I know
I'm
neighbors
trying to predict picks as they come.
I know neighbors is also in play here, but Rome again lands in a better spot with a better nucleus. I think a more stable infrastructure. You know, yeah, there's competition for targets, especially the first couple of years, but I love the longevity of route runners as well. And as soon as, you know, watching his film and then seeing Harmon put out that, you know, he was green everywhere on reception perception. That's my type of receiver. You give me an alpha that can run routes, that's going to be tutored by Keenan Allen, who's an alpha that can run routes, and the longevity of that pick. I absolutely love that. And, you know, I do think that there's a certain amount of upside there, especially with volume in today's NFL. So you might have to see Keenan Allen, you know, leave town either at the end of the season or maybe the next year or 2 years, depending on retirement, things like that. But I think Rome's set up nicely. Andy should be the two by the end of the year.
I like that, like the way you like said it too, because a lot of people are like, why would you take him right now? But you definitely cleared that up as exactly saying like what you can see him doing, because it's not year one, year two. It's more like longevity over it, because Keenan Allen's not going to be there much longer. We don't know what's going to happen to DJ Moore, how long he's going to be there for. So yeah. I love that pick. And taking him that high, I mean, taking him as the wide receiver too.
Yep.
Definitely made the 105 a lot easier here. And for me, I'm going with Malik Nabers. Yes, it's the Giants. Yes, it's Daniel Jones. But at the same time, Daniel Jones hasn't really had a true wide receiver. He's been injured quite a bit. And giving him Nabers kind of gives him a better position. And sure, you know, there's still quarterbacks on the board. But if you look at it, only 8 quarterbacks have actually been successful in the first round the last 15 years out of the 46 that were drafted. So 8 out of 46, that's not a good number.
Yeah.
And then, what were we going to say?
No, go ahead. And then I just wanted to throw a bow on kind of what we just did with the first 5 picks. So finish up your analysis on your pick.
And then with what we don't know with Darren Waller, this team has a lot of open ends on the receiving end of it. So giving Daniel Jones a true wide receiver one, and also with the Giants not selecting any quarterbacks at all, which wasn't really left that much after the first 6 were taken, I like his upside overall as being easily seen at 160 targets in this offense.
Now, and you guys can jump in here if you think differently, but what we just saw through the first 5 picks in some order is likely the first 5 picks, and now your draft is actually going to start.
I think the first 8 picks are very much chalk.
All right, let's keep going through 8 then.
Yeah, because 1 through 8 can pretty much be seamless. Doesn't matter if it's setting a premium or not, I'm taking Brock Bowers here. I think Bowers would have been in play actually at pick 4 with premium. I don't care about the Raiders landing spot. I don't care about Michael Mayer. I don't care about the offense that's been installed there. I mean, I do a little bit, but it's Bowers is a special talent. And the way that if you can get a creative, any sort of creative offense can utilize Bowers in such incredible ways. And I just feel like this is the perfect kind of, you know, spot to take that risk. May McCarthy, which should probably be the next two popular picks here. We're also in play here as well, but I have no issue grabbing my receiver one and the tight end one to, you know, to kind of fill out these two picks.
Sure.
With tight end premium, that's interesting because I like, given the way early tight ends have gone, even though Bowers is a special talent, I mean, every tight end that goes in the first round is a special talent, but given the way early tight ends have gone, excluding last year where it was just a barn burner of a tight end class, and I think this year has some things to like, I could see myself waiting another pick or two on that, but people won't. So I think that's totally fine for you there. Especially in premium to get the top of that tier. Now, pick 7 and 8. So I'm going to go Drake May at pick 7. You're absolutely right. McCarthy is in consideration here, and there's really two things you're balancing there between those two picks for myself. It's the rushing upside and the arm talent of May without any infrastructure, really a ton of things around him right yet on a team that's going to try to build around him, versus McCarthy, who also comes into a little bit more of a similar of a solidified situation with, you know, a couple good with three really good weapons on offense and replacing Cousins. You're really looking at, you know, long-term upside. I like May. Immediate impact, I like McCarthy. And, you know, for me, I'm going to lean more rush, a little bit more rushing floor, and in my opinion, a little bit more long-term upside with May. But if you feel differently, I don't think there's any problem going McCarthy at this spot either.
Sorry. I was chewing. Here's a point where I'd want to trade out if I could in a draft at this point, because I know this many people, like seeing this quarterback here, seeing J.J. McCarthy, which is who I'm going to pick, I would be willing to trade out of this pick just because I just don't have the faith in him to actually pull out like a lot of people think he can do. Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he has the capabilities, but the many times I've seen him play, I just don't see him transition in the NFL that great. I think it's going to be a longer process than most think. But with that being said, 108, I'm going J.J. McCarthy just because I have to at this point, because it's the best quarterback available. He's the one that has the highest upside, but also has a lot of downside. Like he could have bust potential. But when you're throwing Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, and then also handing off to Aaron Jones, I mean, it's kind of hard to pass that up right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, seeing that he's throwing, his floor, like you see him throw, if you've looked at any of his games, like there's games he threw for under 100 yards. And if they have him just handing off, I mean, this can be a perfect type of offense to hand off in, because you got a good offensive line, you have Aaron Jones, but you don't get points for hands offs. And it's just hard for me to swallow this.
I'm just super glad that he left a run first offense to join a modern offense that wants to utilize his skill set. This is great. I'm so happy. So happy he doesn't have to hand the football off to Blake Corum 25 fucking 100 times.
Enjoy leading the league. I almost wanted to say enjoy leading the league in sacks.
You mean Jaden McDaniel? You mean Jaden Daniels, who had a significantly higher sack rate than every quarterback in this class?
Yeah, but we're gonna say welcome to the NFL, rookie.
I think all these guys besides, I think Penix, who won't see the field, I think has a exceptionally high sack rate, but that's common. That's
the game we live in.
Or Knicks too, because all Knicks had to do is get the ball off in 1 second. So I think this is where the draft starts. I think pick 9 is typically where You see a lot of, you know, Brooks in play, Worthy in play, Thomas in play. I've seen Knicks in this
Knicks in
spot,
play,
depending
yeah.
on a QB needy team. Again, if you're doing a rookie draft in March or in May, please, for the love of God, don't draft for D, just draft best player available. You have multiple months to figure out your roster. It's not that hard. I'm gonna go with the guy that I picked in a similar spot here too. It's gonna be Xavier Worthy. It's always been torn between him and Thomas, right? I go back and forth. It's literally 1A, 1B. Like, I guess between those two, like they're just basically one and the same. It's just I have a little more faith in the Chiefs' offense of being able to maximize Xavier Worthy's skill set. I think Worthy, it's a bit more of a risk than Thomas. Worthy is more of, I think, what scares a lot of us because he ran the ball fast at the 40, and they typically get typecast into a specific role in the NFL. But even if he gets typecast, he gets to be paired up with Mahomes, with Andy Reid, the aging Kelce, a very much in legal trouble Rashee Rice, and literally nothing else there to block him. I think it's going to be Worthy may be that guy to start his career as a third level guy, but he could be thrusted into more of a true one role if Rice is to miss multiple games, or if the Kelce fall off starts to actually happen. So I think Worthy's in line. You know, his range of outcomes is all over the place, but I think he's got an incredible ceiling, and everything, you know, kind of falls right, you know, in the right way for him.
Yeah. Well, first snipe just happened because I was looking heavily at Worthy here as well for what you just said. The one thing I want to add, you mentioned, you know, potential to get typecast and what he has around him, but the Chiefs showed very much that they want to use that type of receiver, and that was missing in the
They
offense.
proved it with Hill, like.
A deep threat. Well, they proved it with the number of guys they tried to force into that role
That
last year that didn't have
too,
the
right?
hands
Yeah.
to do it with MVS
MVS.
and then getting Mecole Hardman back. And, you know, we saw flashes of Justin Watson playing that role. And, you know, they desperately needed that field stretcher that can grab a deep ball to really have that explosive Chiefs offense that we've been used to. And that's Xavier Worthy's hands are better than any guy I just mentioned there. Well, maybe not Justin Watson. His hands are actually pretty good, but he's more athletic. So, you know, I love that pick there, and I'm gonna go with the guy you didn't take, and I'm gonna go with Brian Thomas. And again, this is another situation where, you know, with Kirk and with Evan Ingram, you know, the pressure should be off of him to not just see top coverage all the time. But the Jags needed a one desperately for Trevor Lawrence. They're a team that should be in a window. They're a team that, you know, lack really that alpha receiver. Dude's a big body, works outside well. He's going to complement Kirk and Ingram nicely in that offense. And, you know, I do think there's long-term upside there as well. You know, it's a different kind of a different play than what Worthy is, but, you know, I think that's your tier right there, essentially, for wide receivers in this range.
Very good one.
Under Ryan.
All right. So, like Dan said, you know, you don't draft for need, you draft best player available right now because, you know, a lot of things have changed between then and now. And here with the 111, I'm going to go with Ladd McConkey. I could have went many ways with that. I could have went with Bo Nix, but
Your best player
I don't.
available with Ladd McConkey.
Yes, absolutely. BPA, the Ladd McConkey man. I mean, you look at this point in the draft, we're getting to the end of the first. It's starting to dwindle down where players are starting to mix in. But also, you know, you got to remember, McConkey was one of the first picks taken in the second round. Actually, he was the 34th pick. So he's the second pick overall taken in the second round. And this whole Chargers offense is going to look different now. You know, Justin Herbert has no more Keenan Allen, no more Wake and Williams, no more Austin Eckler. So that's about 2,000 yards that are gone now. So let's see.
Going to Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully
and
Quentin
DJ Chark
Johnson
and now
and Quentin
DJ Chark.
Johnson. Oh yeah, DJ Shark.
He signed
But
their
like,
1 year deal.
I mean, Ladd McConkey, he didn't have much activity, you know, because the Georgia game didn't really show him a lot of passing. But when he did have the ball in his hands, he could definitely do very well with it. You know, he has the athleticism. He offers he gives a nice weapon to the revamped offense that's going to actually fill well in the slot, and he can actually pop outside if he actually needs to. And I feel like where this landing spot in general, being as a Charger, he could actually be one of the best wide receivers in this class outside of the top three.
Okay.
On
to you, Dan. Or go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I'm moving. Yeah. I'm not as high as on Lattice as most others, but
several people I probably would have went with.
But the Lad Love and the landing spot, there's a lot of opportunity that's there. As Ryan pointed out, there's a bunch of the high volume players of left in this new identity, right? Like this whole Chargers offense can just be turned up on its head. It could be, but Quentin Johnston can actually improve year two. Like, who knows? But my next pick for the 112 to round out the first round, I thought Ryan would have took him here. I'm glad he didn't, because I'm glad to take him. I'll take Jonathan Brooks. Fantastic. It's a good landing spot here with Carolina. It's not the best offense in the league. He's going to have to deal with probably early carries from, you know, Chuba Hubbard as Brooks gets a little more acclimated to the NFL and to the NFL speed as he gets his legs under him and as he continues to recover from his ACL tear. You know, historically, you know, players can get off to slow, inefficient starts while recovering from that throw in that he's a rookie. It might be a slower start to him, but out of all the rookie running backs in this class, he's probably the only one that's got a true three down set. He's probably the only one that could see a true workhorse role in his career. Is whether or not his body can handle it, we'll see. Does that look great? You know, 1 year of doing that and then gets hurt. But the Panthers doesn't have much in terms of behind him. Hubbard, they brought in Rashad Penny. You know, historically, Hopper's favorite, you know, favorite running back, Rashad Penny.
Gross.
I can totally see Brooks having this backfield, majority of this backfield by midseason and being a weekly winner shortly after that. So upside, good floor.
It's about where I'd expect to see Brooks go to, I think. But look at the first round, and to remind people, Williams, Daniels, Harrison, Odunze, Neighbors, Bowers, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, Jonathan Brooks. It's about what you'd expect if you were setting up with league size here. I think McConkey is the only one that might be a little surprising to me, and I don't think you're out of range given the opportunity there. I think that there's two to four guys I'd maybe like ahead of him in the wide receiver class. But if you believe in him, this is where, you know, normally say the back of the second, mid back of the second is where you're going to start taking dart throws, but normally you have more of a running back class. So, you know, you're picking a guy that you believe in out of this tier of wide receiver. Any other thoughts for you guys in the first round?
Pretty much chalk.
It's the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. If it's not Ladd, then it's Parasol. If it's not Parasol or Ladd, then, you know, Knicks could be in this range.
Knicks could be Leggett, could be Bolt.
You get your second running back. I've seen him, Benson's right around this range. I think he typically starts at the end of the first and goes between that and like early second. Like there's a lot of range that starts to take place after the top eight goes, and really even after Worthy Thomas. It just depends on if you dislike one of Worthy or Thomas a little more than the other. I've seen guys like McConkey, I've seen Parasol, I've seen Brooks, seen even Benson, and even Knicks go ahead of those guys. So I think, as I said, the draft typically starts about pick nine for a lot of people.
All right. Okay. So moving around to the top of the second round now. So my 0-1 team, this is where draft strategy starts to come into play a little bit. I don't need two quarterbacks. So, you know, we talk not position to need, not best player available. The one that you take best player available, not position to need. Well, when best player available comes, when best player available becomes a bit debatable, then you can use that as position of need as a
Yep, ex
tiebreaker. Then
exactly.
that's where we're at. So you mentioned Trey Benson. He's in play here. I don't necessarily love the pedigree. It's tight end premium, so may start thinking to not here. I think that maybe that's still a couple too early. So I'm the wide receiver heaviness is going to continue, and what I'm looking at here is we talk through this. So I'm going to share a strategy because this is a learning experience, right? So I'm looking at, we just talked about Pearsall in San Francisco with Debo and Ayuk trying to get out. Ayuk last year of his contract, true succession plan there. Hyper athletic guy, with the size enough to play the outside, and Pearsall, never had over a 1,000-yard season in college, but did improve every year. Xavier Leggett, also hyper athletic, around the same age, lands in Carolina, where they desperately need receiver help in whatever form that they can get it. Keon Coleman in Buffalo, another need. And again, this is all somewhat the Ladd McConkey argument. Coleman, not quite the athletic profile of a Leggett or a Pearsall. And then Jalen Polk, landing with the Patriots, who also clearly have a big wide receiver need with Drake May. For me, the route I think I want to go here is probably gonna go Ricky Pearsall here. I'm gonna go Pearsall. And it's because I trust the infrastructure there to find a way to use his athletic profile and his talent. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of Debo or Ayuk, if not this year, is definitely out of town next year, and that's a succession planning type thing that's in place, and you're looking for flashes. So it's not a year one play, but it's liking the offense, liking the infrastructure, and liking the upside there. Again, three or four guys that would have been at the could have been in play there, from wide receiver, as well as a tight end, as well as a running back. It's where the draft starts. Personally, Pearsall checks a lot of things I like, so particularly athletically. So that's the route I'm going.
And I like it too because, like you said, with Pearsall going there, it throws a lot of questions up. What's going on with Brandon Ayuk? And what people don't understand is Brandon Ayuk is actually a free agent after this season. And like you said about Debo, possibly being traded. To trade him, it's quite a bit of money. And this year, it's a $28.6 million cap hit, along with a 20, $42.7 million dead cap if they release him or anything else. So the actual true out for him is actually this next year. So this whole offense could be looking different in the 2025 season compared to the 2024. And like you said, if you, like any and when you're at this point, you're at the 201, there's a reason why you had the 201 because you have the 101. So you're a rebuilding team. You're trying to build for the future. You're trying to build up. And with that being said, you pretty much took it like all the topics out. I'll talk about the upcoming players. So here, as we were talking, we're going best player available. I already took Jaden Daniels at the 102. Bo Nix is on the board, and I'm not a huge fan of that offense in general, just because it seems like a
Sucks.
mismatch. Yeah, it's
It
just a
feels
mismatch.
so gross.
It just feels
It
dirty.
does.
Like
It
I
does.
just.
It absolutely does.
It's almost like your parents like catching you with porn. It's like, oh, so it's bad. So, that being said, I'm going with Trey Benson here. And when I say that as the 202, this is saying if I didn't trade anything, like none of us ever traded our picks. Like we held our picks the whole entire time. I'm looking at the 2025 season at this point with him,
Beyond
because
James
James
Conner,
Conner,
and
yeah,
or when James Conner gets hurt.
exactly. And this is James Conner's last year, anyways. So with him going out this season, they're going to upload him heavily. And as we saw last year with James Conner and the year prior, he
Every
had
year he can't handle a full like he gets
no.
can't handle
He's never
heavy
played a full
workload.
season. He's never played a full season ever.
Yeah.
This is like I. Perfect. I love this spot for Benson. I've talked about it when we did the draft recap. This I absolutely love this spot. Like he's not going to be forced into any real heavy role. I think here it is typically where he goes, right? He's in that full cluster of shit,
Right
but
around the
good shit,
turn.
like the fun shit.
Yeah.
And here, I'll leave this into my next pick because I have famously have disliked this player, but
here we are.
We're at this point. We're at this 203, and I think this is where a decent range for Knicks to go. He's a starter. Like, we'll joke about Zach Wilson as him being the starter there, but let's honestly be honest.
Are we?
I know. I'm not, but you know, for the fans of Bo Nix out there, for all, you know, all 12 of them plus Sean Payton.
I am one.
You'll get the first. You'll get the first crack at it at the very least. You know, they still have Javonte Williams there at the running back. They still have Tim Patrick. They still have, well, they drafted a Mims. You know, they drafted Trey Franklin. They still have Cortland Sutton. They still have Greg Dulcich, whenever those guys are actually fucking healthy, because I feel like every single one of those players besides Worthy, because he has to play in the NFL, yeah, has gotten hurt and missed multiple games. So Sean Payton also has a very QB-friendly offense, and the AFC West is going to have a lot of throwing in it. There's going to be a lot of games in where the Broncos, even with a good defense, can find themselves behind. You don't have a smart, you know, you don't have a veteran quarterback like Wilson that can kind of not make the mistakes where Knicks is going to. So there's a lot of garbage time potentially in his future. I don't love this pick, but weighing out being Ron, I'm running quarterbacks a lot. At some point, you also have to weigh the upside and weigh the knowledge of knowing that there's a good chance that Knicks will probably pay off on this ADP. And if you don't believe in him, as soon as he has a couple good game stretch, as soon as he throws for four touchdowns against the Falcons, trade him. Looking at you, yep. Will Levis.
Okay. So we're coming back to me, and Knicks is the only one that's really, you know, Knicks Benson off the board. So we're back here in wide receiver land and in Benson-ot land, right? So got to break this down as I work through it. So again, looking at wide receivers, Xavier Leggett has the best athletic profile of the guys that I would have up in this tier. Absolutely destroyed the combine. Late breakout, but age 22, 1,200 yards after really doing nothing the first couple seasons at South Carolina. So, and he landed on the Panthers, which doesn't have a lot of help around him, and we don't know if Bryce Young is a bust or team's a bust. It's kind of a shit show for infrastructure. Jalen Polk lands on a rebuilding Patriots team, not nearly as good athletically. Again, all but age 21 breakout season, but a little bit more productive the first couple of years. The other guy that, you know, is on a team where there's need, I guess, Keon Coleman, who lands to the Bills, who got rid of everybody, but, you know, that's a really uninspiring athletic profile to me for Keon Coleman. Also without a ton of productivity. So, Benson-ot and tight end premium is a guy that I really, really like here. He lands on a team with a fresh quarterback with absolutely some help around him with Terry McLaurin, but still has the opportunity to be the second best option. Zach Ertz is there to take a little pressure off of them and help mentor him early. It is tight end premium. And this guy had a lot of things that I liked. And as far as things that I'm, that, you know, if I'm wanting to be sure that I'm getting a piece here, that I like, and at a position that's a little bit more scarce, I think this is where I'm going to pull the trigger on Benson.
Ooh.
Early?
No, if you were going to do it, I was going to do it on the next pick anyways. So
this is right. This is pretty much the range, maybe a little early for what I've seen in mocks, but it's like, again, it's within relative range of where, you know, this massive tier kind of falls. This is a big tier.
It is.
Of like multi-position tier. This is massive. Just a lot of direction you can go from like the end of the or from the end of the first at this point. So.
All right. Right on to you. One. It is a tough one. It's a tough area.
I'm glad I knocked it down to three rounds now that we're talking about it, because all of a sudden I'm just like getting depressed here. I don't know
always
what to
knock
do.
It down to two rounds. You never know.
All right, and we're done it for this pick.
Wait a minute. Wait a second.
His
Wait
show.
A minute. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is your show. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks.
So 205. I mean, there's many ways to go here. I mean, and as Happer said, you know, wide receivers heavy. Bessonnette's now gone, and looking at tight end, I'm not going anywhere near who I have as my tight end three, which is just Taven Sanders this early in a draft. You know, you're looking at wide receivers like we already said, Troy Franklin. You're looking at another running back, Blake Corum, you know, his opportunities with being behind Kyron Williams. You have Malachi Corley, who is looking to be the number two behind Garrett Wilson right now. As you know, Hopper already said about Jalen Polk, he's in a rebuild offense. One wide receiver we haven't mentioned, though, is the Indianapolis Colts guy, Andy Mitchell, who looks to be thrown in the wide receiver two position, who is also basically being thrown into that Alec Pierce role. So, you know, Alec Pierce didn't work this time, so they draft Alec Pierce again. Hopefully that it works this time. But here, I'm gonna go in my mind what I think is safe, because I feel like it's best player available too, where I feel like his upside is better than most. And I'm gonna go with Keelan Coleman here for the Buffalo Bills. You got no Stephon Diggs, you got no Gabe Davis. You have the addition of Curtis Samuel, and you're pairing him up with Khalil Shakir. So what's Josh Allen gonna do? Probably give Keelan Coleman a bunch of jump balls, because that's what he's very good at. And many, including myself, you know, saw Buffalo taking a wide receiver in the first round, and they just kept trading down, trading down, trading down. And then they finally take their first one at the very beginning of the second round. So either they were very high on Coleman and figured, and they knew they could get him by trading down. But, you know, without a doubt, they drafted a talented wide receiver because that's what they need, because they have nothing there in Buffalo. So opportunity, the shares, I'm going to go with Coleman on this pick.
I'm so intrigued to see what his role is going to be in Buffalo to start.
I am intrigued to see the role, and you know, I don't know how it's gonna play, but you know, like you said, you're taking what you believe in here, and I do think it's a better pick than Adonai Mitchell, at least, who's
That is definitely true.
Yes.
Mitchell's spot is so, oh man,
It's so again.
could
You
not have
said
been worse for
wide receiver
fantasy.
too. I think he's a three on a low volume offense with Downs and Pittman both there.
I think he definitely starts as a three. He's still got to beat out
At
Pierce.
least, and
Like,
Doolin.
maybe he plays special teams. So we're in this range where, like, it's like the disappointing, like the guys that you don't love, but they got good draft capital. Guys that you're like, oh man, there's so many holes potentially in their profile, but you know, the NFL told us they really liked him. You know, teams bought into him. You have an entire, you know, team and coaching staff that basically told the world that they were going to take him at pick 33, then traded up one pick to take him at pick 32. That's Xavier Leggett. Look,
Yeah.
a fifth year breakout. He's the quarterback converted to wide receiver on a not a great offense. It took him a bit to get going, right? You have to relearn pretty much how to play football, right? You're gonna know the routes and the play, but we can't learn how to actually run the routes. Little older, right? There's gonna be growing pains, but you have a very old Adam Thielen. You have a totally show favorite, Deontay Johnson. You have a reworked offense. You have a new running back. You have a crapshoot at tight end. They love Leggett from the sounds of it, right? They're going to want to do everything they possibly can to get this guy going. I don't know if he'll hit, but at some point, you have a first round receiver that made it to the 206. Like, upside, he's going to get volume. Whether or not he turns that volume into actual production, we don't know. But he's almost a shoehorn in for at least 100 targets. Because there's no way that I see him off the like he should be on the field for most of these snaps, and you're just kind of hoping that you know he can you know pick it up quickly and learn, and if the coaching staff truly bought into the player that they liked, so I'll take Leggett here.
Nothing
I'll
wrong
take my
with
Xavier's.
that, and I think this is always going to be what was left of what I would consider to be this tier for me, and so I'm going Jalen Polk. You know,
no need to break it down because I broke it down the last couple picks and or not break down the pick, but to break down the competition. I broke it down the last couple picks, and if you were listening to the names I was saying, they all went. This is the last guy that's available and what I would consider a, a tier of opportunity there. Just turned 22. So he's not old, but he's not super young. Everything was all right on the athletic side. There was nothing that he really missed on. There's nothing that blows you away either. Big yard per reception guy. Last 3 years, 22.8, 16.9, 16.8. Last 2 seasons, he's got 107 balls. Or sorry, I can't do math. 110 balls for 1,800-ish yards. So, in 15 touchdowns. So he's been productive. Had a big year last year. Productive with Penix in the Washington on offense. Good dominator. Just late breakout, but he checks boxes and he lands in New England where they're in desperate need of wide receiver help. Probably playing from behind. He has a quarterback with a big arm that can take advantage of some of that deep ball work. And again, it's kind of the last guy that lands in this situation where there's a ton of opportunity there, and we're just hoping somebody jumps up and get it. It's not the first round draft capital that Nan just picked, but it is opportunity.
Like three picks after like a two, like this. There's,
yeah,
there's four straight receivers ever drafted it at the end of the first into the second. So, and he's a part of that four.
Yep. No, he wasn't. You were Pearsall,
was it not?
Leggett, Coleman, McConkie, and then there was three picks between McConkie.
Oh, I thought Polk went instead of McConkie. I thought
but
it was
then
Polk over McConkie.
After Polk went with the wide receiver runs, you got a 15-player break before A.D. Mitchell finally went. So, he's considered in that same tier by the NFL, it would look like, too, given where that tier break was.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we kick it off to Ryan now to decide where we're going after clearing that tier out, or do you still have somebody in that tier?
Oh man, dude, this is tough. Like looking at it, I'm kind of just like, I don't know where to go. What do I do here? And there's many ways to go. And I'm going to go off the deep end here. I feel like is probably the best way to say it. Because I look at opportunity, like, we see all these receivers and see all their opportunities. And then I look at one other player and I see a potential opportunity that could actually supplant him. And he's a high draft pick right going in a rookie in the draft right now. And a lot of people might hate it because they'll call me a homer for it.
Oh,
but I'm gonna go with
I'm not calling you a homer for this.
Blake Corum.
Okay, I'm gonna call you a homer for that one. A little bit.
Why is that?
Well, you didn't say Roman Wilson, so I think you're fine.
Yeah.
I thought about Roman Wilson.
I hate that landing spot for
I just
so
think
much.
You do have a tier of backs here. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that with as good as Kyren was, when people didn't expect that. I mean, I guess you could have a James Robinson type of a drop off, but I mean, the dude was just lighting the world on fire. It is third round draft capital on Blake Corum. I do expect he'll be a little bit more involved in the receiving game. The Rams clearly have a type here. It's just a set of backs leaves a bit to be desired, but can I tell you where else I would have went? Nah, it just depends on where you're gonna jump at, because I mean, you're looking guys like A.D. Mitchell, who's we just talked about him being the three on a not high volume team. Malachi Corley, who has some productivity, but he's a small school receiver that didn't test well athletically. It's on the Jets, who are one more injury away from being done with Rodgers, and who knows what the hell they're doing after that. You don't have a lot of sexy places to go at the wide receiver or tight end position. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we are in this tier of running backs. It just doesn't feel good for where we're at in the draft, but maybe we are in this tier of running backs. I'm just misjudging that.
I mean, I see where Ryan's going to, right? Because he's Corbin's obviously clear. He's a clear RB2. And Williams dealt with some minor injuries, you know, towards the mid to late last season. He's also small, right? Like, he should not be handling 300 plus touches in an offense. They need to find a balance. It's weird because why would you draft the same fucking running back when, if you're going to go for a bruiser type, just take Braylon Allen a little bit later. Like, just wait. But, you know, they see a dynamic between the two, and if Kyren is to get hurt, as we love to say here, he's one injury, you know, Blake's one injury away from being the main guy on an offense. We just saw Kyren dominated. So it's an upside, right? Like, there's not a lot of floor left, and like, no true floor. Uh-huh. So you start finding ways to find upside. Like, if Ryan would have left, Quorum dropped, I would have taken him here. So,
yeah, for, exactly. So
for a lot of the same reasons, and running backs are one of those teams where it's like, if you're going to get, you know, production from them throughout their career, it's generally going to be right in the beginning. And if, and just what, you know, Quorum's done for his career, I think he falls into that role where if Williams gets hurt, or if whatever reason Williams just starts to kind of slow down, you know, I think Quorum can step into that spot and maybe give you a couple years at most. But I'll take, for my 209 pick, I'll take, probably the highest upside receiver left, at least in my opinion, one of the higher receivers left. And I think he would have definitely been a higher draft pick had the off-the-field issues not, you know, kind of take over. Mm. Landed on a team that has a lot of questions post this season. You know, we talked about Pearsall and his landing spot with the Niners and kind of what that offense is going to look like in 25. The Bengals are going to look maybe potentially different. You know, Tyler Boyd's gone. They don't really have a running back backfield. They don't have a lot of tight ends. Jermaine Burton steps into the number three role. Not really a slot guy. Didn't really handle slot. He's a big play guy, though. And if Higgins decides to leave after the season, which by all accounts I think is going to potentially happen, you got Burton and Chase, and you got Burton being able to learn and lean into this lead into this really good wide receiver core. I wasn't completely in love with them during his time in Bama, but there's a lot of upside, and within the right coaching staff with the right situation, I think he could hit that ceiling and take the offense. You take the opportunity that's starting to kind of, you know, poke his holes and show. I think Burton's a really good pick at this spot, and that cost is it's good in comparison. It's probably a little higher for, I think he starts to go, but not too much.
No, because if you didn't take him here, I was going to take him if Hopper was going to pass up on him. So,
no, and
that's the new show phrase right there.
He's a guy that I was paying attention to here as well for that reason. You're just now you're looking for where's maybe not that one opportunity, but that two opportunity going to show up at. And, you know, you're right. He did slip a bit. We talked about it extensively, draft recap and pre-draft. About the talent being weighed with the off-field issues. So we're at the back end of the second round. Couple things I'm looking at here. I'm looking at the other running backs that I have in that Quorum tier, and there are four guys that I also have there that we can start playing with, either from one injury away or, you know, succession planning or grabbing usage there. They also have receiving upside, and really you're looking for explosiveness and receiving upside here. You know, there's another guy or two that I think may not be ones, but have the option to be twos and whatever an offense could be, and have some things to like. And then, you know, it's gonna sound gross because the way this has been shitted on, but you could also start potentially thinking Michael Penix here. And it's a first-round quarterback. The Falcons are going to play a top 10 pick at some point, whether that's this year or whether that's 2 years from now when Cousins has no more guaranteed money left on his deal and they decide to roll out of that and try to go forward with it. Whether that's 4 years from now, you know, Penix will see the field for Atlanta at some point. As a first round pick, doesn't feel great. You're not Probably getting your one productivity out of that. You know, he may ultimately be a trade piece for you. So I'm going to fall off of that because I do think there are players that have more immediate and potentially long-term impact than the fact that we know Penix will see the field and maybe a complete and total bust, but you got to start thinking about it here. Running back wise, there's a guy here that I really like that may just be a get your guy, and I think that's the route I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go ahead and take Jalen Wright, actually, is my next pick in the next running back off the board. I like the situation there a little bit more than I might like Marshawn Lloyd landing behind a Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. We know that Miami had some banged up backs and Achane and Mostert. Mostert's not exactly healthy, a model of health throughout his career. And Wright's cut from the same mold that both Achane and Mostert are, where he's just got that straight line track speed that we've seen be incredibly explosive in a Miami offense. Furthermore, he's shown the ability to be productive on absolutely not a full workload worth of carries. This is a guy who cleared 1,000 yards last season and 800 the year before on less than 150 carries. That's really, really good productivity. And last year, he worked in some receiving work. There's definitely some holes in his game, but he's ultimately explosive on a team where, you know, one injury at least gets him into the rotation, and he's been hyper explosive when he's been in rotation. He doesn't need a lot of carries to hit home runs. So I'm going to go Jalen Wright here, but it's close between him and a few other guys.
It's tough when it comes to running backs here at this point because, you know, we're all kind of just hoping for the best, you know, one injury away. And the Miami backfield has just been injured in general. I mean, I think what they have, like, four or five running backs all played start last year.
Yeah, they're all old 49ers backs besides Achane.
Achane couldn't even stay healthy, though. He was missed time.
He was hurt for most of the season.
Yeah. But when he played, he dominated.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're up here to the 211. And this is where I'm going to end the fall of a certain player because if you're usually at the 211, it's because you have a good team already as it is. And here, this is going to stop the fall of Michael Penix Jr.
If you weren't going to do it, I was going to do it. And I was going to be very sad. So it's literally, it's been the same reason why
I'm on
the
same page at this. At this range, at the back end of the second, of all right, it's a top 10 pick.
That's been the
there.
Biggest talking point is where the fuck do you take him? And this has been typically the range. I've seen him as early as in a 14 team league. I saw him go at like pick 13. I was like, what?
Okay. I could, you know what? I can
see
like that.
But I see it though, because his team is
in our 16 team league. If I was sitting with a pick in the
mid. Second,
112
yeah.
to 16 range, I would probably go into first maybe just because of how hard it is to get quarterbacks in that league.
Yeah, there's obvious, you know, different scenarios in which it happens, but yeah, this one's it's weird. Sorry. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I mean, I love his upside. I mean, what sucks is that, you know, Kirk Cousins signed a 4-year deal, but you look at Kirk Cousins' deal, it's actually really a 2-year deal, but with that being said, you know, all you really need is Penix to go on the field and throw anything to have a good game. You got a trade piece here at this point. You know, you're basically drafting him to throw him on your taxi squad because he's pretty much useless. You know, he won't see any time this year at all. He might see any time next year. And with it, looking overall, I mean, you got Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. Why did they not go with something that they needed, a defensive lineman? Why did they go quarterback? I still can't figure this part out.
Literally any other position would have been 100 times better.
Anything.
Like, they could have gotten Brock Bowers to pair with Kyle Pitts. People would have been Pitts, but it would have been 100% better than the Penix at 8.
I mean, I want to see teams drafting double tight ends, like, you know, seeing like Brock Bowers go as early as he did. It's like, you know, that's going to be run more 12 personnel out on the field. But it's like, you know, people are looking at this pick as like, you know, a Jordan Love type of pick. I'm like, Jordan Love was in the 20s. This was a top 10 pick. This is a higher dollar pick. Quit comparing to Jordan Love. This is not a Jordan Love pick.
It's also
this
3 years older than Love when Love was drafted. So,
yeah, this is a pick where what the fuck are the goddamn Atlanta Falcons doing. But you're gonna grab Penix here, you're gonna hold on to him. You hope he has a good game, you got a good trade piece. You know, that's how I look at him. He's a trade piece, or in your bigger team, in your bigger team leagues, your 14-16 team, you're looking for future upside because the quarterback position is just a hard one to get there.
I fucking hate this spot. Last pick of the second round, and things are getting
really dire.
It's gross. Like it's not the worst.
Full on gross territory.
I'm gonna go with the guy that oddly enough, I got both these guys in the third round in a different league, in a 12 team super flex and premium league. I got both these guys in the early the mid third round, which was a steal. You know, Hopper, I think you took Polk. I think at the range, I think at his highest range, I'm going to take Javon Baker, the other New England wide receiver, top of the fourth round that they took, that I'm also a fan of. I've liked more than Polk. The fact that both have been slipping primarily in rookie drafts is because of the landing spot. I think there's a lot of opportunity here. Right now, it's Bourne. Was it something Darius Douglas, whoever the fuck the number two is,
and DeMario Douglas,
and then there are two drafted receivers in Polk and Baker, and this team just needs an injection of youth and just something, some sort of spark. And with Polk and Baker, I think being able to play off of each other and fit the roles that they're going to be, you know, playing. I'll take the receiver that I like a bit more. Both of them are decent values in most drafts, but I think his opportunity to see the field year one, it's pretty good. Just given Boris coming off of his ACL tear, and there just really isn't a whole lot of true competition for targets. And if this team's going to suck by midseason, be one of the worst teams, you're going to start seeing a little more, I think, youth thrown out there to see what they got. I don't know if neither of these guys are the future wide receiver, one or two of this offense, but I'll take a shot in hopes that May is some sort of shroud and can take a pretty rough roster and make fucking gold out of it.
All right. I like really nothing here. Like, I would just, yeah, I don't know. I don't like anything here.
Let's do a beer review then while we think about it.
Okay. Good call.
That's good. That's actually a good call. We can fly through these next picks.
Dan, what you got?
Again, I am drinking Pachanga. This is a Mexican lager from Sunkeen Brewery. Sunkeen is out of Indianapolis, Indiana. This is a very traditional, lightly breaded, dry finish, clean throughout, very light. Obviously, you know, your traditional Mexican lagers or lagers that come from Mexico in Corona and Dos Equis. This is outdoors, garage beer, lawnmower beer, whatever you say or want. This is a craft version of, you know, of a real, you know, classic domestic style. And it's tasty. Very much is.
Hopper?
Okay. So good West Coast IPAs are hard to come by, and good West Coast Imperial IPAs are even harder to come by. It's got a good malty backbone, nice and caramely, bit of sweetness there. Alcohol notes are not harsh at all at 9%. It just gives you a bit of floral back into it. Piney, a little bit of tropical, and a bit of citrus on the hops. There's a reason that Dogfish Head IPAs are fantastic. West Coast are a dying breed. It's a great beer. 90 minutes of great beer. Be fitting of your exit.
Fantastic.
To you, Ryan.
And I said I had Equilibrium Brewing Rock Fantasy, which is double India Pale Ale. Jeez, I can't speak right now. It's called Beer Balanced by Science. It comes at 7.5%. And it's just like
All beer is
very
balanced
fr
by science. That's literally what beer is, science. Sorry, continue.
That's okay. And it went down like, dude, I don't know. Like, it sucks with like IPAs. It's like they all start tasting the same, and that's why I like them so much, because all their hops aren't that much like different, and like the flavor ain't much different. Some of them have like a little bit more of a fruitier taste. This one had like a bit of a drier taste to it, which kind of gave it like a nice, more dry taste with a little bit of fruity of a background to it, if that makes sense at all.
Like a brewed IPA. Yeah.
Yeah.
New Zealand
So,
hops.
yeah. I don't even know what hops are even in this, but yeah, that's kind of what, that's what it gave me when I was drinking it. Now it's all gone.
I wish more breweries would put the hops on their bill, put
I
the
do
hop billing
too.
on the cans, but it's not super common.
Oof. All
Right.
right, Chris.
Round
Actually,
three.
it's 301 here.
You can just talk
Well,
quick about them.
yeah, we can. And so I'm looking at two backs and a tight end here. God, that's terrible. There's really nothing to like here. You know what? Screw it. There's a wide receiver I'm looking at here too. And I'm gonna say F it with this one. Third round pick, lands in a spot where I do think there's wide receiver opportunity. And I think wide receivers at this point give you the most upside. There's a couple backs I was considering, but when I was looking at the contracts of the people that are ahead of them, I mean, you're 2 to 4 years from them, from guys that could be bell cows not being on those teams. So that's a really tough one to swallow. Tight end premium. So I started looking that direction again. But ultimately, I'm taking Luke McCaffrey.
Oh.
Again, it's probably a bit of a reach. There are other receivers here that you can go with, but the athletic profile is very, very solid. I like receivers that tend to have good agility scores, even if the 40s are a little bit mediocre as well. That's what led me to guys like Cooper Kupp. That's what we've seen guys like Tyler Lockett succeed with, Julian Edelman's, Wes Welker's of the world. McCaffrey's a bit bigger than them at 6'2", 200 pounds. But if you play him into a big slot, given what the athleticism says, or even outside, he can carve out a role on a team that really hasn't had anybody carve out a role as the two, right? We talked about Vincent not coming in as a tight end, potentially being a two here, but tight ends take a bit to catch on. Zach Ertz is 33. We know Terry McLaurin is probably pretty solidified. Jahan Dotson hasn't been able to grab on to anything the last 2 years. He's had some good games, but he was a disappointment for a lot of people last year. So the two spot in Washington is open with a new quarterback as they go to rebuild. It's a third round investment and a guy with a good athletic profile. Close to 1,000 yards last season, but 13 touchdowns. So you've got red zone ability there and touchdown ability there. So again, just drafting opportunity from a lot of things that I don't really like on a profile that's been successful in the past. 39.5% college dominator too isn't bad.
What was it, dominator rating?
39.5.
Yeah, that's not
Rough.
bad at all. Yeah. All right,
30%
302.
target share at Rice. So anyway.
302, man. We're really starting to dig here. And just like Hopper said, you're looking at the whole board. I look at quarterback, or not quarterbacks, running backs. I'm out on them. I'm looking at tight end. Not really. Wide receiver feels like the best strength here. And seemed like we're Luke McCaffrey, and I feel like that was a little bit early, but I could see the justification behind it. But here, this time, I think I'm going to make the pick that Hopper thought I was really going to pick the last round, and I'm going to go with Pittsburgh wide receiver Roman Wilson.
Yeah, I was considering that too in the early third because again, it's another situation where you haven't really had a two emerge and there's opportunity there. It's almost the same argument.
It is.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
And it's third round and not second round costs, late second
And
even.
I look at his player profiler. His best comparison player is Stefon Diggs. So, if I'm able to draft the next Stefon Diggs here at the 302, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna let the fall stop. I'm gonna get the most unsexy fucking quarterback wide receiver stack I think I would ever really ever truly want, because I really don't care about either, but I think there's still upside with Troy Franklin in what could be a kind of a wide receiver kind
is
of
it is it really a
ambiguous.
fall? The two guys that Ryan and I were just took were drafted ahead of him by the NFL too. So is it really a
Yeah.
fall?
But like I think more so I think people are still hanging up on what Franklin was, I think, pre-draft to where he actually was drafted. Range wise, I think Roman typically goes ahead of Franklin, which is I think fine. Like I said, this third round, right? You start aiming for more potential, hopefully. And Franklin's speeds might very, very productive at Oregon. You know, gimmicky offense that got him open, but either way, gets paired with the quarterback that got him the ball. I don't know how much that actually matters, depending on how everything shakes out. But a wide receiver room that is kind of desperate for some playmaking in it. Mims hasn't really, you know, wasn't given a bunch of opportunity last year. Judy's gone. Patrick is probably hurt at this moment because he's always hurt. Sutton is. We'll see.
Patrick actually is hurt at this moment.
Okay.
By the way,
my point proven. I think Franklin has the opportunity to start early, and whether or not he hits, who the fuck knows? But at this point, if I can get something early on that can maybe give me some trade chip if he starts to show something, so I'll take the low risk here.
All right. Again, same two to or same three backs that I have are still there, kind of in that tier. There's a tight end that I'm drooling over that I can probably wait on. I got a couple more picks in this draft. 4, 7, and 10, I think. So a couple more picks in this draft for that. Wide receiver side, I think we just cleared out another tier there. I think there's two guys that have high draft capital that are falling pretty considerably, but I don't know that there's just situations that I want to jump at either. This is a tough spot. I'm probably going to go back up to where there's a little bit of draft capital here and a guy that's one injury away, and I'm going to take Marshawn Lloyd. I don't love anything about this, honestly. This is a pick that Lloyd is not a guy that I like. I think I'm pretty sure I called him like the great value version of a great value version of a player. I'm not a fan of his at all. I do know that being one injury away and having some investment put in you and immediately being listed ahead of AJ Dillon on the depth chart, you know, tells you a little bit about what a team thinks of you, and that can't be totally ignored. I hope I'm not in this position to do this in a real draft. You know, the other thing with the contract to Josh Jacobs is they technically do have an out after 1 year for $9 million in dead cap. But you know, they can pretty much go year to year after the first year of the contract with whatever they want to do. And that could also potentially run 4 more years if he's productive and they like what they're getting out of him, which is a complete block. So there's risk here with limited upside. I don't love this, but there's also some signs that, you know, he may get better than just a little bit better than just change of pace work. So gotta go there. Feels bad, man. Feels bad.
This whole third round starting to feel bad. I feel bad for everyone in here that has third round picks. It's almost like I almost want to trade all of them up just to say, yeah, I don't have it anymore. All right. So here we're out. 305. We're almost to the halfway point, Dan. Almost there.
We're almost there.
And I'm actually surprised that this player sat there longer, because I was going to take him even in the second round. I thought about doing it at the end of the second. But with the way things have been going, I just kind of see if I could get him to fall. And he has fall. And I'm going with New York Jets wide receiver, Malachi Corley. Garrett Wilson. I would say Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams, you know, need a nice slot receiver. Corley fits that mold perfectly. Gives Aaron Rodgers another perfect weapon. Possibility, I mean, Mike Williams come off a torn ACL. We know how MetLife Field is. It's where knees go to die. And if he can't make it last out west, what makes us think that Mike Williams can do out east here? So getting Corley, you know, he could actually be the number two receiver on that offense behind Garrett Wilson. So easily he could be pushing 100 targets. You know, he's electric. He's got electric hands, electric with the ball, dynamic playmaker, and hopefully gets his offense going one step forward too.
I mean, it's good value on him. I think the reason he fell this far is because, again, you may have, you don't know what you got left in Rodgers. The athletic workout metrics were not good. It's a small school player that did produce and did dominate at a small school level. Look, I can't hate it in the third round. I wouldn't have done it around earlier, but in the third round, yeah, that's totally fine.
All right, I'm not gonna keep beating the dead horse about what's available in terms of excitement, but I want to go with the who I actually thought was the number two wide receiver in Washington. I'm gonna go with Jalen McMillan. Polk should definitely be drafted over him. Polk's opportunity to get on the field early on, it's a lot more clear than is McMillan. Obviously, Polk was taken a round and a half later before McMillan went, but McMillan still got day two draft capital. Very firm set at the top, though, with Tampa Bay. Obviously, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans are your one and two. Bucks like what they got out of Trey Palmer, but Trey Palmer was a six-round pick. McMillan was able to at least find some success in Washington before his injuries came. He actually broke out, hit the 1,000 yards before Polk was able to. It took a more of a McMillan injury to get Polk going there. But either way, it may take a bit here. It may be a little bit what, you know, what Chris Godwin kind of had to deal with before he broke out in his third year with Tampa Bay. But I like the skill set of McMillan. I think he could fit in nicely as a replacement to Godwin if they decide to move on from him next year or in the next couple of years. And if he could find himself maybe starting if he takes over Trey Palmer's spot, improved offense that we saw from last year. Yes, they lost a bunch of defense or a bunch of the coaching pieces on offense, but kind of like what the Bucks are building out there. And I like this pick when they made it at the time.
All right. Hard to argue with that, I guess.
You know, mid third round picks, hard to argue about really any of these.
It really
honestly
is. I'm going back on my notes here for a second. Give me a minute. I want to see what I didn't like about somebody who it seems like I should have liked. Oh, because I didn't watch the film. That would explain why I didn't like it. All right. I'm going tight end. I'll say that because there's two tight ends here that I think deserve to be drafted. I won't snipe Ryan because I'm, you know, sure he'll probably go this route before the end of the draft too. And he already said it was three is. So I just want to make sure they both get talked about. I'm going to go with Theo Johnson. So fourth round draft capital, six spots behind, Ryan, no pressure to actually make this pick, but the guy that you mentioned earlier in Jadavion Sanders, six rounds behind him. Look, the fact is it's a wide open receiving core on a team that just had Darren Waller retire for a guy that is 6'6", 260 and absolutely killed in his combine workouts. Not a lot of productivity in the receiving game at college. That's okay for tight ends. You know, it's taking a shot on a hyper athletic tight end that has some draft capital behind him in a position of opportunity, with exceptional size as well.
Yeah, I love how that is. I didn't think you were actually going to take him. I thought you were actually going to go Jatavion Sanders there.
No, I thought about it, but honestly, if see, Waller did decide to retire, right? Or is he
It's
still
not, so he did, but
it's still
it's not been official
not
yet.
official yet? Okay.
Yeah,
And
but he
then,
did say he was going to.
you know, the Giants thought so much about Daniel Bellinger that they brought in Waller. So, you know, yeah. I might have went Sanders there also, Ryan, but since you mentioned interest, I just figured I'd go with the other guy who, if I don't take him, may not go and I think deserves to be talked about.
No, it's okay because I'm not taking them right now anyways.
It is a show after all, so.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun with this. So 308. When I hit the third round, usually in general, this is usually where I like to kind of throw darts at players where I think they have opportunity to become something as a running back. And earlier, yeah, I took about Pat Corley and Romo Wilson, so it kind of throws off what I'm just saying. But if I need running backs, I look at kind of like position and what's ahead of them. And looking at one player, I see Javonte Williams, you know, being injury riddled. So here, this is where I feel like Audric Estime is a good pick to take as a dart throw. Yeah, he was a fifth round pick, but you look at his running style, yeah, he was slow. But is it just me or do I see CJ Anderson there in a way? You know, you see like a freaking bowling ball that can freaking move. And yeah, he's slow. He's not known as much of a pass catcher, but he could definitely make a dent in this Broncos backfield. And surprisingly, can actually be a true threat to Javonte Williams, in my opinion.
All right.
I don't really see that, but if it is, then I think Javonte Williams is hurt or he's just not very good. But
Yeah, it could be either, but yeah.
I mean, they also ran three running backs last year with Javonte healthy. So who the fuck knows what Peyton really wants to do there? He ran three backs, you know, at points in his New Orleans times, even when he had Ingram and Kamara. So like that's me. Like he's big enough and bowling ball enough you could actually get the goal line carries, and he's very durable. So he doesn't need to catch passes if the Broncos offense starts scoring points. I'm gonna go. We're doing a little running back run here because why the fuck not? I'm gonna go with I think the most talked about day three running back pick, and for decent reasons in a very kind of wide open Chargers backfield. Fidel kind of just slides in
Damn it.
as a 5'8". Smaller guy, right? There's a lot of 5'8" guys in this class. Jesus Christ, it's a class of short kings. Very stocky, you know, productive at Troy. And the guys ahead of him, you know, Gus Edwards has always been just a guy, but he's in a good offense, but he's never looked special at all. Dobbins is obviously the upside for the team if he can remain and stay healthy, but that just hasn't been shown. And I think everyone on the show agrees, especially no Hopper will, is Isaiah Spiller is not going to be a fucking person and could possibly be off this team because of this pick. So there's a lot of swings here. There's no guarantee that Vidal even makes a team. Could be practice squad, may not even matter, but I'll take the opportunity. He's got a good athletic profile. And he was a workhorse for a Troy team, but sixth round pick, obviously run heavy offense with Harbaugh and with Greg Roman. Vidal gets that opportunity. I think you could see him snatch it on a team that's going to run the football a bunch.
You know,
All
I
right.
almost actually took him there too instead.
I thought you were going to, man. I
I
was
thought
like,
about it.
as soon as you said Denver, I'm like, oh, thank God.
It was between him. Yeah, it was between him and Estime.
Three more picks. Last picks for all of us.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. All right. Well, again, not left with a lot of sexiness here. All right, you got fourth round backs, Will Shipley, and who's kind of blocked by Saquon for at least the next 2 years, barring injury. Bucky Irving, who I mentioned being a solid pass catcher that could actually take a little bit of that from Rashad White if he's a little more efficient, but has some holes in his game. Rasheen Ali is somewhat interesting there. Actually, wait a second. Am I completely glossing over someone that I know Ryan likes? I think I might be. I definitely am. Okay. What the
You pick
hell?
him, I'd be mad.
Will ya? You know who I'm talking
Do
about?
it. Do it. We need a little sniping. There's it's been kind of chummy in here.
All right, I'm gonna go with Tyrone Tracy.
Damn it. Yes, that was what I wanted.
Finally.
I
Damn
remember,
it.
so I a little strategy note. I remember Ryan mentioning liking him, but again, it's another guy that land. It feels ugly going two Giants back to back with my picks, I
I think you can
guess.
have all
But
the Giants done all right to Nick Neighbors.
it's another guy that lands well. I mean, what's in front of him on the depth chart is Devin Singletary, who's been good the last two seasons. We're not taking that away from him, but not blocking anybody per se. Eric Gray is not anything. There's not really anything pushing behind him either. It's not like he got exceptional draft capital. He didn't. He was the back end of the fifth round, but athletic profiles fine, productivity profiles a little less than fine, but it's opportunity. It's an older back, so you're gonna see what you got in him quick. He's already upwards of 24 years old, but he's got decent size. I don't know. It's a backfield where it's anybody's ball game. So give me that dart throw in the late third. A couple other guys I would consider there that maybe have more long-term value, but could be buried. This has the opportunity to be a surprise again, just because there's not a lot in front of him or behind him. It's very desolate in the Giants' backfield.
Yep, that was gonna be my pick, so that's okay. That's why I always make backup plans, so all my backup plans. Because if I don't have a backup plan, then I have nothing to talk about, and then I sit here and just jibber jabber until I get my backup plan together.
That's what I think he's doing, guys.
Yeah, which I did. So the 11th pick, my final pick here, I'm doing it once again. I'm gonna throw a dart. I'm going running back. Not gonna lie, because at this point, the running back is the golden ticket. The wide receivers, I feel, are so hit and miss. And the running backs, you're like, it's one opportunity away. And with this one, I'm going with Buffalo's running back, Ray Davis.
I thought about him.
I like
He
how we're
is the
all
backup. I didn't
taking
realize he's the backup
just
there.
absolutely tanked running backs instead of a Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, don't worry. He's going next.
Is he?
Yes.
Second round
I
receiver.
completely forgot about him.
Second
I'm
round
not gonna
receiver
lie.
that
I would
there's.
have taken him over a couple guys I think I picked by accident, but I completely forgot about him.
Ask
Ahead,
how far he
Ryan.
fall.
Talk about Ray Davis, Ryan.
I mean, a perfect complementary piece to being, behind James Cook. James Cook just kind of struggled in short yards, and they kept bringing in what the hell was his name? Murray.
Latavius Murray.
Latavius
He's
Murray,
off the
yeah.
team now, yeah.
And then they had Leonard Fournette come in, and he didn't do anything ever.
Dude, I
So,
completely forgot about that move too. I don't think he even played. Like he
no,
maybe
he was just on the
like
team, and
three
Leonard Fournette just
snaps or
didn't.
something.
He
Yeah,
was
he barely
there.
fucking played.
And then they had another guy, something Johnson, and I can't remember him, but they were rotating them all in. And Ray Davis, yes, he's a little bit on the older side, 24-year-old rookie running back, but he has the power. He can bust through the goal line. He can be a touchdown machine if they need it. It can help Josh Allen, and he's got sneaky good speed and quickness. So taking it here at 311, why not?
Yeah, why not? Again, one injury away. Bowling
Not
ball
even
against
that. It's just basically one
short cane.
complimentary
I mean,
piece
like he's
away.
a like if he starts off and looks strong, like he might be the Thunder to the Cook's Lightning, Cook smaller back, but
He's got wheels.
if the Bills, because I believe this is a season where Josh Allen's extension, kicks in, right? And you can't keep relying on him taking unnecessary hits. So you get a bigger back like Davis in there, maybe you start to see a little bit less, goal line, goal and goal work from Allen. Like you may see some Davis, touchdowns, and all of a sudden he becomes relevant. But I'll stop the slide of Adonai Mitchell. Again, I kind of forgot that he was. I thought Ryan had taken him for some reason, so I just kind of Forgot about him. Second round pick, hyper athletic, great size. You have, was it the GM, come out and just defend him and just shit on people, writing bad articles about him and hiding behind just hiding in the shadows about it. I don't know if Mitchell is going to see the field early. I do think he's better than Pierce. Is he better than Downs enough to get on the field in wide receiver two sets? I would think so, but we'll see. I wasn't the biggest fan of his overall profile. I don't particularly love receivers that A, they don't break out, or B, can't really post any significant of a dominator rating. But Mitchell is oozing with upside. And if I can take a dart throw on this type of player, and hopefully, Richardson can kind of buck the trend of hyper mobile quarterbacks who don't have a lot of volume to their name. Mitchell's got some big play. Robinson's got the big arm that can utilize the speed that Mitchell presents if they decide to use him as the true Pierce role, as a third quadrant guy. You're just kind of hoping for one or two big weeks, and you can find the person that loved them that were probably going to take him in the first round had he gone in the first round in the NFL draft. So I think 312 Adonai Mitchell is completely fair to take. So,
yeah. I mean, I like his profile and everything, like how everything looked. But if you look at some of his game tape, it looked like he did take plays off, or he didn't full speed.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of like brought me down on him. I'm like, I don't know. Like, if he's going to do this in the NFL, or if he's doing it right now in college, he's going to do it in the NFL. And how long is
if
that
he's frustrated
last?
With Quinn Ewers, there's going to be some frustrated moments with Anthony Richardson.
Exactly.
That offense also funnels through a target hog and target matcher in Pittman. Like, he's not competing with Worthy, who's also not a target hog himself. So
he's going to throw like temper tantrums like LeBron James does on the basketball court,
He just doesn't look engaged, right? If it's not on his side of the fifth, if he, like, I think you have to instill into him wanting to block and wanting to, wanting to operate in that third quadrant, knowing that you're not going to get the football, because it helps the team move the ball down the field, because it takes it puts stress on, on the secondary, and in hopes that he shows up when his number is called. But we'll see.
All right, and that wraps up the third round. So third round, 101 to 112. We have Flute McCaffrey, Roman Wilson, Troy Franklin, Marshawn Lloyd at 304. We got Malachi Corley, Jalen McMillan, Theo Johnson at 307, Audra Gassame, Kamani Vidal, Tyrone Tracy at 310, Ray Davis, and wrapped it up with Adonai Mitchell. Or Adonai Mitchell.
Got the Adonai, fourth round of
AD Mitchell.
The first round, the fourth round of rookie drafts is going to suck, Dan. I was looking forward to a rookie draft until we did this. In fourth round, a single quarterback. I am not looking forward to it.
I will tell you this right now. Even in a single QB, you're going to see reaches. We don't obviously have the smartest of smart people. They're going to make some reaches. There's some names, I guess, you could kind of mention here that's even left over. Spencer Rattler is a late dart throw. I think there's actual opportunity for him to maybe see the field if the Saints get off slow and Derek Carr is just not it. Please don't bank on it, but it could happen. I think he has a better opportunity of seeing the field before Penix does. And that's thanks, Atlanta. Thanks.
Probably the only so quarterback much. That's worth throwing out there. Running back wise, I would shout out the undrafted, Bucky Irving in fourth round. So the fourth round picks of Bucky Irving and Will Shipley, Isaac Grundo, and I guess to a lesser
Laub.
Degree.
Yeah, Dylan
Allen,
Laub.
Dylan Laub. Going to the Raiders in the sixth round. So there's,
I'll even give a little bit of love to Braylon Allen because
a little
think
bit
he's one injury
he's
away.
Probably one injury away, or Shinelli's a couple away, but he's not.
Or Isaiah Davis.
There's guys there that you can take dart throws on. We can just leave it that way. We don't have to name everybody in the class.
No. We're good. No.
But there's dart throws there. Wide receiver side of it,
Yeah.
There's not much left.
There's not much left.
It's
there.
Slim pickings. It's been picked over preemptively.
It's because they're lifting up this class. And then on the tight end side, I didn't hate Cade Stover, but obviously with Schultz on the Texans, I think. Eric All going to Cincinnati isn't terrible. Jatavion Sanders in Carolina. Tip Riman, third round pick. Don't let that drive you off of anything. Tip Riman's a blocking tight end. So
he's not taking good work. Too. He's not taking work from McBride. It's okay.
So you're good there. All right. What's the show, Ryan? Any parting words?
Guys, thank you guys for this opportunity. You know, you'd be hanging out with you guys for the last 2 years. Quite enjoyed it. Feels like it went way too fast now, but here we are at the end.
Here we are.
Bittersweet.
I know. Thank you.
I miss you.
We still have 16 episodes left, though, so hang out with Dan and I as we ride this thing out for the next 4 months.
Absolutely.
See ya.
See ya. See you guys.